Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, texts 15 and 16, and we'll do 15 responsively, and 16 we'll just say together. Yeah, 15.
Yadyapi astram brahmashiras.
Tvamogham cha pratikriyam.
Vaishnavam teja asadya.
Samasham yadrigudvaha.
Yadyapi astram brahmashiras.
Tvamogham cha pratikriyam.
Vaishnavam teja asadya.
Samasham yadrigudvaha.
Yadyapi astram brahmashiras.
Tvamogham cha pratikriyam. Vaishnavam
Teja
Asadya.
Samasham Yad Brigu
Dwaha.
Please chant.
Yadhyakrasyam Brahmashira.
Vaishnavam teja asadya. Samasham yagrigudvaha.
Anyone else? Translation? Word for word.
Yadyapi.
Although.
Astram.
Weapon.
Brahmashira.
Supreme.
Tu.
But.
Amogham.
Without check.
Cha.
And.
Apratikriyam.
Not to be counteracted.
Vaishnavam.
In relation with Vishnu.
Teja.
Strength.
Asadya.
Being confronted with.
Samashamyat.
Was neutralized.
Brigu.
Udvaha. O glory of the O glory of the family of Brigu. Translation. O Shonaka, glory of Brigu's family. Although the supreme Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama was irresistible and without check or counteraction, it was neutralized and foiled when confronted by the strength of Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Please repeat. O Shanaka, glory of Brigu's family.
Although
the supreme Brahmastra weapon
released by Ashwatthama
was irresistible and without check or counteraction, it was neutralized and foiled when confronted by the strength of Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Jai. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Brahma Jyoti, or the glowing transcendental effulgence, is resting on Lord Sri Krishna. In other words, the glowing effulgence, known as Brahma Tejas, is nothing but the rays of the Lord, just as the sun rays are rays of the sun disk. So this Brahma weapon also, although materially irresistible, could not surpass the supreme strength of the Lord. The weapon called Brahmastra, released by Ashwatthama, was neutralized and foiled by Lord Sri Krishna by his own energy. That is to say, he did not wait for any other's help because he is absolute. And we can read 16 together.
Mamam sahye tarascharyam sarvascharya maye chute yaidam mayaya devya shijatyavati hantyaja.
And the translation? O Brahmanas, together. O Brahmanas, do not think this to be especially wonderful in the activities of the mysterious and infallible personality of Godhead. By his own transcendental energy, he creates, maintains, and annihilates all material things, although he himself is unborn. purport. The activities of the Lord are always inconceivable to the tiny brain of the living entities. Nothing is impossible for the Supreme Lord, but all his actions are wonderful for us, and thus he is always beyond the range of our conceivable limits. The Lord is the all-powerful, all-perfect personality of Godhead. The Lord is 100% perfect, whereas others, namely Narayan, Brahma, Shiva, the demigods, and all other living beings, possess only different percentages of such perfection. No one is equal to or greater than him. He is unrivaled. Om Adhyana Timirandasya Janamjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Rutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasanabhyavacha patitanam pavanepyo vaishnavepyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Thank you all for coming today. I'm very grateful for your presence. And I'm asking for the blessings of the Supreme Lord and Srila Prabhupada and my spiritual master and all the senior devotees that I can say something that will glorify Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna, and they will hopefully be pleased with me. Okay. So these two verses are very nice because they give us a nice opportunity to glorify Sri Krishna. And that's the whole purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sachirananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. Means Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all, he has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. So one of the points mentioned in the first purport by Srila Prabhupada is he speaks about the Brahma Jyoti. And the Brahma Jyoti, he says, is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, and I look for a few verses just because I wanted to be clear in myself about what is exactly the Brahma Jyoti. And so in Bhagavad Gita 4.42 in the purport, Prabhupada says, the word Brahma means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual, and the rays of his transcendental body are called Brahma Jyotir, which is his spiritual effulgence. So sometimes when you look at the deities, today they don't have them, but many times you see they have their effulgences, which kind of goes over the backs of their heads. So you can kind of think of that and think that this is Krishna's effulgence. Just like you've seen angels, you see pictures of angels and they have like a halo over their head. So this is Krishna's effulgence, but it's all around his whole body. Everything that exists, Prabhupada says, is situated in that Brahma Jyoti, everything. So think about that for a minute. Everything means, look at your own body. So your body is situated in the Brahma Jyoti, as well as everyone that's here. Think of everyone in the town of Alachua, everyone in Alachua County, everyone in the state of Florida, all throughout the United States, everything, the whole world, this whole planet, all the three worlds, everything is situated in Krishna's effulgence, in the Brahma Jyoti. But when the Jyoti is covered by illusion, Prabhupada continues, or Maya, or sense gratification, then it's called material. Then it's not spiritual, it's material. And it's sort of like it's covered by a veil of illusion. But this veil can be removed by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, the process of consumption, the contributor, and the result, all combined together are Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth, covered by Maya, is called matter. Matter dovetailed for the cause of the Absolute Truth regains its spiritual quality. So in other words, that means that when we use all of these seemingly material things, when we use them in Krishna's service, then they become spiritual again. Or we can understand that they're spiritual, so they're spiritualized, so they kind of go back again to what they always really are. It's just that we don't see it that way. Matter dovetailed for the cause of the Absolute Truth regains its spiritual quality. Krishna consciousness is the process of doing that, of using things in Krishna's service so that we can always think of him and remember him. Later in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the verse where Krishna says, I am the taste of water, everyone knows that verse, many people. So in that purport, Prabhupada says that the light of the sun and the moon are also originating from Krishna's Brahma Jyoti. So just let's not even talk about the moon, forget the moon, let's just focus on the sun. And think of how powerful the sun is. The sun, without the sun, we're lost. We're nothing without the sun. And just think, if we try to look at the sun, we can never do it. We cannot look directly at the sun, or maybe for a minute, or less than a minute, a few seconds, and then your eyes hurt, yeah? So imagine that same sun, its power is coming from Krishna's Brahma Jyoti, or from Krishna's effulgence. So imagine then the power of Krishna if the sun is just part of his energy, not even his internal energy. So this is why the devotees in the Sri Yashopanishad, this is a verse 15, says, Hiranyamayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tat Tvam Pushan Aparvrinu Satyas Dharmaya Drishtaye. So this is from the Sri Yashopanishad, and it means, O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. So we have to pray to Krishna and ask him to remove that covering so that we can see him. Because otherwise, we can't. We can't even see the sun. In the purport, it says, in Bhagavad Gita 14:27, the Lord explains his personal rays, Brahma Jyotir, the dazzling effulgence of his personal form, in this way. I'll skip the Sanskrit. He says, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are three aspects of the same Absolute Truth. Brahman is the aspect most easily perceived by the beginner. Paramatma, the Supersoul, is realized by those who have further progressed, and Bhagavan realization is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:7, where Lord Krishna says, he is the ultimate concept of the Absolute Truth, Mata Parataram Nanyat. Therefore, Krishna is the source of the Brahma Jyotir as well as the all-pervading Paramatma. And Paramatma, as we know, is inside of every living entity and goes with every living entity from body to body. Later in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna further explains. So Krishna says, "But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge with a single fragment of myself?" So think about a fragment as a little tiny piece, right? So with a single fragment of myself, Krishna says, I pervade and support this entire universe with a fragment of himself. So like, it's nothing for Krishna. Thus, by his one plenary expansion, the all-pervading Paramatma, the Lord maintains the complete material cosmic creation. So everything he's maintaining. He also maintains all manifestations in the spiritual world. Therefore, in this Shruti mantra of Sri Upanishad, the Lord is addressed as Purushan, the ultimate maintainer. And then later in the 8th chapter, 8.13, Prabhupada tells us that for the personalists, all the innumerable other planets, for the personalists, there are innumerable other planets, and those are known as the Vaikuntha planets, and that's where the personalists go. But the impersonalists, they remain in the Brahmajyoti. That's where they aspire to go, and that's where they go. Why is it important to understand about the Brahmajyoti? Why do we discuss these things? Sometimes they seem kind of complex and maybe not so interesting, not as interesting as hearing about pastimes and like that. But it's very important because it helps us to start to understand how powerful Krishna really is, although we can never fully understand, but according to our ability, we can get some understanding. And this is why Prabhupada says that when we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, we study the first 9 cantos, and we should go in order, because we first need to understand how potent and how powerful Krishna is. Otherwise, if we jump to the 10th canto and we hear about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, we might think that, oh, Krishna's just like one of us, or he's just some teenage boy chasing girls around. But but this teenage boy is extremely powerful. He's the most powerful. So Prabhupada brings that point in to show that it was nothing for Krishna to take care of the Brahmastra. The Brahmastra is this super powerful weapon. For those of you who haven't been following so much, this Ashwatthama is a very evil, wicked person. And he set off this Brahmastra to try to destroy Parikshit Maharaj, who is a baby. He's a baby in the womb of his mother, but he's going to be the king of the world. And because Ashwatthama didn't want that to happen, he set off this Brahmastra to kill this baby in the womb. And so his mother, Uttara, she comes to Krishna, because Krishna, it was there with them, but he's about to leave. And she comes to Krishna running, and she says, "Please save me, because this Brahmastra is coming." And she says, "Even if you don't save me, just save my baby." She's frantic, but she understands fully that if she takes shelter of Krishna, he can save her, he can save the baby. And of course, Krishna does. He's able to counteract the Brahmastra, and he saves the baby, which is Parikshit Maharaj. We also want to study these things because we want to be able to explain to others, and that's a very important thing, to be able to share Krishna consciousness. So when people ask us questions, which they will, because people, even if you don't, you're not necessarily preaching outright, you are preaching. You probably have had the experience that people are naturally attracted to you. And they ask you, after they've been around you for some time, they kind of ask you, "What are you doing?" They notice that you're doing something different. And they're kind of curious. They want to know more. So it's nice to be able to have a good understanding of the philosophy so that we can share with others. And then in the second verse, Prabhupada mentions the... What was the second verse? The second verse was in the purport about the other personalities and how they... Krishna is 100% perfect, whereas the Narayan, Brahma, and Shiva are, and all the other living beings possess only different percentages of such perfection. So in one class that Prabhupada was giving in London, he explains that a little bit more. This is from August 1972. He says, when a living entity is free from material contamination, he can acquire the mystic power of Krishna up to 78% in minute quantity. So that's so Lord Brahma, he has that in full to perfection. And we can also actually acquire that, but we're not realizing it at the moment. Even the scientists are aware that our brains, we don't even use all of our brains, and they don't even know what all the parts of the brains are actually for. So Lord Brahma is a full 78%. Lord Brahma, he is also a jiva, a living entity, but he has perfectly this 78% mystic power in minute quantity. Lord Shiva has got perfectly 85%, and Narayan has got 96%. These are analyzed. These are not fictitious, Prabhupada says. But Krishna has got full 100% mystic powers. That is Krishna. Therefore, it is specifically mentioned that they all have to, at some point, they always have to turn to Krishna for help. Everyone has to turn to Krishna for help. Many people worship Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva also has to turn to Krishna for help. So this Brahmastra then obviously could not be stronger than the Supreme Lord because it's coming from Krishna's energy. So in the same way, we also are being chased, you could say, by the Brahmastra. And the Brahmastra that chases us is the conception that I am this body. So you can think that this is like a Brahmastra that's constantly on us. And when we're in that consciousness, which, well, for me is most of the time, then it's like the Brahmastra is chasing us. We know, theoretically, that we're not this body. You know, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, it's one of the first things that you come to understand. So it's like you've been around for a little bit, you know, okay, we're not this body. But what does that really mean? And do we really live that all the time? So that takes a lot of time and practice. And that's what we're basically trying to really realize. Because we kind of go in and out of that illusion. Prabhupada said something like, because the one devotee said, I'm sorry, Prabhupada, sometimes I fall into Maya. And he said, no, you're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna consciousness. So for most of us, that's kind of how it is. For example, if I get angry over, say, I think someone has done something to me, or I feel like someone has mistreated me in some kind of way, then that, and even I might not show it, but I know within myself if I'm feeling like that. So that's a sign that I'm still thinking that this body is me. That means that, because actually the person who I think has insulted me, they can't even really see me. They've actually never seen me. I've never even really seen myself. So for me to take that as an insult and be emotionally disturbed by it means that I'm thinking that this is me. So these are things we have to work on. Whereas Srila Prabhupada, because anger can be used in Krishna's service. I just finished reading Bhakti Charu Maharaj's his memoirs of Srila Prabhupada, Ocean of Mercy. And he tells one story there about how Srila Prabhupada had asked him, he had gone to visit one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers for different reasons. And when Prabhupada heard about it, he was very angry. He was really angry. Maharaj said his lip was quivering and he was super angry. And and what he understood was that Prabhupada didn't like that because he said, if my godbrothers say one thing different from me, you will become very confused. And so he wasn't angry over, you know, because he's thinking, oh, my disciples can't go anywhere else, how dare they? He understood that it would be confusing for the disciples, and he didn't want that. So he became angry, and that anger was being used, was for Krishna. So that's different than anger, you know, because I think someone is insulting me. So how do we get this Brahmastra off of our tail? Well, we have to do like Uttara Devi, and we have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And we have to be confident that the same way that he saved Maharaj Parikshit and he saved so many other devotees, that he will also save us. Does anyone want to say really quickly some pastime they can think of where Krishna rescued a devotee? Anything that comes to mind?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Prahlad Maharaj, yes. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Draupadi.
Gajendra. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's many instances. So we can reflect on these and understand that Krishna, who's supremely powerful, and he can do anything, and he loves his devotees. So if I'm trying to love him, he's going to serve me. Not serve me. See, that's my my consciousness. He's going to save me also. That's the problem. So there's a nice pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya, there's a leper named Vasudev. He's a Brahmin, but he has leprosy. And he has it in a way, he's got these big sores all over his body. But he's also a very pure devotee. And he sees these little worms that they're living in his body. So when the worms fall out, he picks them up and he puts them back because he's thinking that they need to be back in their home and they're taking shelter of him. Yeah. So he has this physical issue, but he comes because Lord Chaitanya is staying with another Brahmana, and Vasudev comes to visit him. He wants to see him and take shelter of him. But he gets there just after Lord Chaitanya leaves. So imagine you're just about to see Lord Chaitanya and you find out that you're too late. So he was very distraught and he actually fainted. And but Lord Chaitanya, he's so merciful, he came back immediately. He appeared there immediately because he understood that this was his pure devotee who was really wanting to see him and very distraught. So he came back right away and he hugged him. He gave him a big hug. So imagine he's got all of these things going on, but still Lord Chaitanya hugged him because he wasn't seeing his body, he was seeing him as the pure spirit soul that he was. And when he hugged him, of course, what happened? Yeah, everything went away. Not only did the leprosy go away, but he actually became very beautiful. He became very attractive. So the problem then was he was concerned now. He was happy, but he was concerned because he was very humble. And he was thinking, oh, now I'm very attractive. Maybe I won't be humble anymore. So then Lord Chaitanya said, well, this is all you have to do is what? What do you think Lord Chaitanya told him?
Chant.
Chant. Yeah, you just chant Hare Krishna all the time, and you don't have to worry about being humble. You'll be humble. You won't lose your humility. And let's see, I'll just read a little bit. And another thing he told him was that he should preach. It says, indeed, the only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudev preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all human beings. That is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Each and every member of this society was rescued from a very abominable condition. So we should see ourselves as that. Even though, of course, some of you were born into a very nice situation, so it might be harder for you to think you're coming from an abominable situation. But even being born, taking birth on this planet means that we missed out last time. So we can think like that last time I didn't make it, so I had to come back again. So that is an abominable condition, having to come back and back to the material world. So, each and every member was rescued from a very abominable condition, but now they are engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. They are not only cured of the disease called materialism, but they are also living a very happy life. Then Prabhupada says, they will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet. If we take to preaching work, we will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The Lord says himself without delay. So very quickly we can attain Lord Chaitanya. And then before, the brahmana whose home he was staying at, his name was Kurma. And this brahmana also was very attracted to Lord Chaitanya. But he had a family. He had a very nice family who would do the deity worship and serve along with him. So, but when Lord Chaitanya was leaving his home, this other brahmana, Kurma, he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, you stay here with your family. And he told him to remain at home, study, and preach the teachings of the Gita and Bhagavatam, and chant Hare Krishna. Do this. Now, let me ask you a question before I read it. And you have to raise your hand, okay? Who would like to always be in the company of Lord Chaitanya? He's watching. Okay, so he says, he tells Kurma the Brahmin to remain at home, study and preach the teachings of the Gita and Bhagavatam, and chant Hare Krishna. Do this, and you will never leave my company. So one way that we can do that, as far as the preaching part, is, on Fridays, we have Harinam every Friday, and it's very nice, actually. And it's funny because we stand on the corner of 13th and University, and they recently put up that big building that wasn't there before. So now there's people living in that building, and they're paying a lot of money, and they're thinking that building was put there for them to enjoy. But we know actually that Krishna put that building there so that when it rains, we have some shelter. So even when it's raining, we can still go underneath there. And we don't have to worry about getting wet. And it also produces a really nice breeze, right? I'm not lying, okay. So that building is producing a very nice breeze. So last Friday it was about 100 degrees out there. But it didn't feel like it, because if you stand in the right spot, you get the breeze from the cooling breeze, which actually is coming from Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And it keeps you very nice and comfortable. So it's a very nice experience, and as we hear, it's a way for us to remain at the shelter, at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, because he wants us in our own way, whatever way that we can, to share Krishna consciousness. And that's different for everyone, but we want to always be doing something. Let's see. And I just wanted to share really quickly, you know, there's those, the devotees who were part of, are part of the Yuga Dharma ashram in New York City. So I keep in touch with them. And they had just purchased a big building, and they were doing really wonderfully because they were distributing like thousands of Prabhupada's books in New York City regularly. And then the shutdown happened, and there was no one on the street, and it kind of looked like everything was finished for them. And it ended up that they couldn't even keep the building because they were, part of the money that they were getting was to pay for the living facility that they had. So they had to leave New York City, and they went to stay first in Prabhupada Village. And then there was one young man that they had distributed a Bhagavad Gita to. And this young man was very attracted to Krishna consciousness. He not only took the book, but he had been keeping in touch with them and really becoming very serious in his Krishna consciousness. So he contacted them and told them that he wanted to come and stay with them. But they were staying in Prabhupada Village, lots of older devotees, and they felt like they didn't want to have, you know, two people coming from outside to stay there and possibly cause, you know, someone to get sick or anything. So then the gentleman said, well, why don't you all come and live with me? And it turns out that he, by himself, no kids, no, not married or anything, has this big house in outside of Atlanta, in Georgia. And it's a big, I saw some pictures, it's like a really big house. And he invited them to come and live with him. So now they're staying there, and they're distributing books again regularly. And from what I understand, they're doing better than when they were in New York City. And there's only one place where they're allowed to go to distribute books. And guess where that is?
Nope.
It's Piedmont Park, which is the place where Prabhupada took his walks when he would visit Atlanta. That's the one place where they can distribute books. And they are there regularly, and they're distributing so many books. So I just wanted to share that as a, you know, to, just to show that when we have faith and we take shelter of Krishna, he'll take care of us. We don't have to worry. He's already taking care of us. He's doing everything. All we have to do is just appreciate and reciprocate, and by trying to share what we have with others. Okay, so today is the anniversary of the day that Prabhupada actually boarded the Jaladuta. And so it's a very special day for us. Actually, I mean, all of these days we could have all kinds of big festivals for, because, you know, if it wasn't for Prabhupada stepping aboard that Jaladuta, where would we be? Think about it. Where would we be? I mean, it's really incredible. So the two things that I wanted to do. One, I wanted to read a poem by Satsarup Maharaj, and then after that we have our lovely new Ramanreti singers who are going to sing a song for you. So please don't leave, okay, before hearing the nice song. So the poem is written by Satsarup Maharaj. And Satsarup Maharaj, for me, I'm always very grateful to him. Although I've never had his direct association, but through his books and when I became a devotee, the two things that that really moved me the most was the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita and reading Prabhupada, he built a house the whole world could live in, which is kind of like a summary of the Lilamrita. And that was just, I mean, that was everything for me. So I wanted to read this nice poem by Satsarup Maharaj. And part of the poem, it's about Prabhupada coming over, and in part of the poem he describes the dream that Prabhupada had, because we're talking about how Krishna protects his devotees, and of course he protected Srila Prabhupada. And when he was coming across, it was very difficult for him. It wasn't easy. You know, just think, he was already an old man. at least externally, and he suffered from a lot of seasickness. I have this book, but I don't think there's time to read. He suffered from seasickness. He was on the boat for over a month. It was very difficult. It was very difficult, and he had two heart attacks on the way. But Krishna appeared to him, and that's not an ordinary thing. We're very fortunate that we can come and we can see Krishna here. Just think how many people never come and will never come. We're actually very fortunate. And so, but Krishna appeared, not only Krishna, even more than that, appeared to Prabhupada and took care of him crossing the Jaladutta. And so I just wanted to read that, and then we'll have the girls sing. The Bay of Bengal was like the ocean of birth and death. He was alone with his inner thoughts, reading the poem of Krishnadas Kaviraj, at which the metal bulkheads fell away and he beheld the fair sight of Lord Chaitanya singing and dancing. The sea was a bridge of time separating him. It was a huge deep for a tiny soul afloat, but endurable by his will, his meaning Krishna's. The traveling was rough, but sheltered by the Lord, at sea and yet beyond, his mission was underway. Despite the injunction against Swami's crossing, because sannyasis were not supposed to cross the ocean, on Janmashtami and on his own 69th birthday, he refused to be daunted by the vast energies of water and sky. He held to his purpose. The sea was his route, the pathway to his service, and not to be begrudged. Sickness. Deep down the ship prowled, then rose high, mounting a swelling wave in a seasick rhythm and roll. In the hold, in a small cramped cabin, sitting up or lying down, there was no comfort. From the sea tossed roll and pitch as rain poured down on the Bay of Bengal. More rain on the Red Sea. Sudden pains in his chest made him think that he would die. Were Scindia's agents right that he would die at sea? Because everyone was telling him, don't do this. Don't do this. You're an old man. What are you doing? So then he starts to think, were they right? What is the pain of a pure devotee? Only he and Krishna knew, and he was willing to do, what he was willing to do to serve his Lord in any condition. If we like, we can ask, why was Haridas Thakur beaten? Why were the Pandavas exiled and harassed? Why Prahlad tortured by his father? Why Rama banished? Christ crucified? But we cannot demand the answers. The Lord unfolds his plans as he pleases. It is best for all. Prahlad never doubted. If God is almighty and just, why am I, a devotee, being tortured? In confronting the demon, he did not suffer, but remembered Krishna and attained the Lord's abode. Prabhupada tolerated two attacks in 2 days, but if it comes again, I will not survive. The rains and winds persisted. His dream of many forms of Krishna. So this is what happened. On the night of the second day, so it's only the second day and he was already having all these problems, Prabhupada had a dream. Lord Krishna, in his many forms, was rowing a boat and encouraging him along. Lord Matsya, who saved the Vedas from the flood, waved him on to protect the Vedas from the ocean of vices. Prabhupada must reach the West and print and distribute his books. The West was drowning in sins, and Indian gurus were drowning the Vedic message in a sea of bogus speculation. Come, Prabhupada, you can cross this sea. The Lord is here. So Lord Matsya was there. Lord Kurma of the nectar-churning Leela urged him on to America to churn the Sankirtan Amrita. Mohini Murti stole the nectar in favor of the devas, but if Prabhupada could reach his goal, he would give immortal quaffs of Harinam to one and all. Therefore, the Lord was blessing him. As the moon and gods came forth from the churning of Mandara Hill, so during the friction between demons and devotees, Srila Prabhupada appeared, and in his hour of attacks at sea, he beheld the Lord in his many forms. Come, Prabhupada, you can cross the sea. The Lord is dear. Lord Narahari's divine advent is to kill the miscreants, and he encouraged Prabhupada with his fierce demeanor, so Lord Nrsimhadeva was also there, which vanquishes the demon's false dominion and assures the followers of Prahlad. The enemies would not touch a hair on Prabhupada's head, but he would kill them all with the healing, cleansing weapon of the holy name. False threats and illusions cannot sway the Lord's devotees, but Prabhupada must come at once, because until now the sons of demons have never met the teachings of Prahlad or known the protection of Nrsimhadeva. As sons of demons, they have only suffered, sometimes longing for another world. Come, Prabhupada, you can cross the sea. With the Lord, there is no fear. And this is the last one. Balaram and Krishna also assured, come along. They appeared to him in a most delightful way. So Krishna and Balaram were also there, running and frolicking in the forests of Raj. The all-attractive Lord and his brother, who deliver the most fallen as Gaura and Nitai. Let the Americans also share this nectar. Krishna is not the Hindu god. The Americans will gladly embrace him. Krishna with flute and Balaram with plow. The Westerners can relearn to love them, since all are eternal spirit souls. Servants of Krishna and Rama, come, Prabhupada, you can cross the sea. The Lord is here. Srila Prabhupada, you will cross the sea because the Lord desires. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So let's maybe let the girls sing, and then if there are any questions, we can do it after. Is that okay? Do you want to stand? Yeah, maybe come over here. So these are some of the girls who have been part of Kishori Yatra for many years under the very wonderful tutelage of Mother Jayashree Radhe and Jamuna Devi. And they learned this very sweet song about Srila Prabhupada boarding the Jaladuta. So please listen, and if you like to sing along, the words are up there for you. Oh, on the...
Oh.
so beautiful. Thank you very much. So if there are any questions or comments, corrections, criticisms? Oh, Mother Sukhira, please.
Such a wonderful class. Like how to see, you know, so much nectar. And did you orchestrate this whole song also? Did you?
No.
No, it just happened to come at this. Oh, she asked you to. Yeah.
I
mean, the whole thing was just really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And just the simple thing that you mentioned about, you know, an insult, how they're not. We never really saw you. We never really see anyone, you know. Just kind of inspiring for us to connect with our, you know, our actual spiritual nature is really something. So just thank you so much for a wonderful class.
Thank you. Krishna's mercy.
I have a comment question, kind of. Mm-hmm. You mentioned about the importance of knowing Brahma Jyoti. So while you are stressing it very nicely, you have presented, I was thinking, at the core of our existence, we are conscious being. Essentially, we are conscious being. And we need two transformation to be in spiritual world, ultimately. First transformation, that wherever conditional state we are, we need to come in contact with Brahma Jyoti. Without Brahma-Bhuta platform, there is no spiritual entrance. Then the whole revival of relationship with the Lord takes place after. Because that's the verse says, Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma, nasa-chuti-nyo-kangsuti, sama-sarvesi-bhuta-si-mad-bhakti-lavate-param. That actually pure devotional service takes place after the first transformation. So it is actually compulsory, everybody must understand what is the Brahman connection is, because testing machine is within me, within each of us. And if I have that connection, how my emotional direction, everything I can see. So this is necessary. I mean, it's almost must.
Yeah. Thank you for this. Okay, just one last quick thing I want to mention. Just about the importance of regular hearing, just because it came up the other day I was sitting, Mother Akuti was giving class on Sunday, and I was sitting over there, and she was talking about how important it is that, you know, when we're chanting, we're asking Krishna for service, but then if someone comes to you and they ask you to do some service, and you say no, then it's not so sincere. Not that we have to do everything that everyone asks us, but, you know, we're chanting because we want Krishna to engage us in his service. So when she was saying that, I was sitting there and I was thinking, yeah, Kuti, you tell him. You tell everybody all about that. And then a little while later, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go home and do this and do that. And then someone came and asked me if I would do some service which was going to keep me here for maybe like another 20 minutes or so. And I really wanted to say no, because I wanted to go home. And all I was going to do is go home and take prasadam. It's not, but I wanted to say no. But because I was sitting there and I was listening to what she was saying, and I thought, oh, now right away, Krishna is testing me, you know, like, were you paying attention? Was he talking to everyone else, or was he talking to you too? So then I agreed to do it, and I was happy that I did. But yeah, so that's why, because we hear, and then it kind of goes in one ear and out the other, because we're so conditioned. So we have to hear regularly, constantly. So we need to remind each other, we need to be reminded, so that we don't fall back into that position that we don't want to be in. We want to keep moving forward. Thank you for coming. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
There's a little comment by Madhava Prabhu, but it's not a question, but I'll just read it. This poem is one of the many, many poems based on the Lilamrita that Maharaj put in a wonderful volume called Remembering Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, right.
It was composed just after he completed and published Lilamrita.
Yeah.